Today, I would like to try to finish this Mizmar. It's not such a complicated Mizmar. Mizmar Nun Zayin. Mizmar Nun Zayin. Morning, Ablazer. Mizmar Nun Zayin. We're up to. Okay, we're up to Pasik Hey, Nafshi. Nafshi B'soich Luvon is a good, great Pasik. Okay, yesterday we spent a lot of time on Pasuk Dalet. Now we go to Pasuk Hey. Nafshi, my Nesham
B'soch. By the way, I just want to add that the word Kavod is confused more than a dozen times. The Hillel, some of which we've already come across, and a couple more in
like
EO,
like that. In where?
EO.
In EO, okay.
Both of them in Tehillel.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehiyah bedvaroi. Nafshi my nesham besoch levoim eshkiva lo hatim eshkiva lo hatim b'nei adam shineihem chanis v'chitzim u'lishoynam cherev chada. Okay, there's a lot going on here in this pasuk. A lot of different ideas. We have to go slow. Let's start with the Mitzudos David. Many different interpretations, different ways to bring up the pasuk, different ideas, different metaphors. A lot of things here. Okay, a lot of drush. Let's see one thing at a time. Pasuk hey in the Mitzudah is David. Pasuk says Nafshi my neshama. David over here is coming to complain about his enemies. His enemies are the enemy number one is Shaul. Shaul over here is the Melech, is the Mashiach Hashem, a complicated person. He's the anointed one. He's been anointed by Shmuel to be the Melech. However, his malchus has been removed. Shmuel told Shaul that you are no longer the Melech. The Malchus has been transferred to David. Okay, Chazal make it very clear that Shaul was 100% aware that the Malchus has been transferred to David, and Shaul had a very difficult time dealing with this. That is a very powerful concept. Is you know, was he in denial? Did he feel maybe there's a way he can get it back? What exactly was going through his mind? Because he did not want to accept it. He acted irrationally and he tried to kill David. Think about that. Shaul is trying to kill the Mashiach Hashem. The same way David holds back and does not want to harm Shaul because Shaul is the Mashiach Hashem. Shaul is the past. Well, Shaul was the past Mashiach Hashem. He's the king emeritus. Okay, he's the Mashiach Hashem emeritus. So Shaul has the same nisayon. Shaul should not want to touch harm David because David is currently the Mashiach Hashem. But yet you see that Shaul doesn't hold back. Shaul doesn't matter. I don't care. David, I don't care. David, I don't care that David has been anointed and to take
this
my place.
Was he ready anointed at that point?
So the Mefarshim, I'm not a Baki in Shmuel, I don't know, but over here, one of the Mefarshim, when we see actually inside, it says Mefarsh, yes. It says here, one of the Mefarshim on the page over here, we have to see exactly come to the words, is that Shaul was fully aware, cognizant of the fact that David was the Melech. And he was legally he's been anointed by Shmuel to be his replacement, and he has the full status of a melech. And now, when Shaul is trying to kill David, he's not just trying to kill an ordinary citizen; he's trying to kill the melech of Klal Yisrael. So that's a pretty big crime. Okay, it's a big enough crime to kill an innocent citizen in Klal Yisrael, but to kill the melech of Klal Yisrael, the Mashiach Hashem. That's pretty serious stuff.
Chayim Nisa,
right? And the laws of the Melech have it to extra legal.
In Shaul's defense, could it be that he said, okay, I'm still king until I'm not on the scene. No one said I should move over.
There is no doubt that those type of, whenever a person does an Aveira, a person will look for every possible avenue to legitimize what he has done. That's human nature. Human nature, when a person realizes he made a mistake and he'll legitimize it a million ways. 100%, I'm still the Melech. Maybe in Chanami, Shmuel anointed you, but maybe your malchus does not start until after I die. And maybe this, maybe that. I also have the status of a melech. You have to have respect for me. 100%. You're gonna be able to find 100 different excuses as to why Shaul had no problem warning and attempting what he had over here. In this story, he was in this story in this cave.
He said it once. He said to Yonatan. Because he wanted Yonatan to be the king after
him. That's another.
He says to him, Kol od Yishai chai, lo takum ata umalchutecha.
You or your malchus? Don't we lay that on Erev Rosh Chodesh, when the Haftarah Mochar Chodesh, Mochar. I think the pasuk appears in the Haftarah of Mochar Chodesh. As long as David is alive, you will not. Ben Yishai, disrespect.
Only once.
Oh yeah.
After the Me'arah.
Yeah. All of a sudden, endearment. He called him my son David, and he used to call him my father. Okay, the story is an incredible story.
It's a fancy word in English. Regicide.
Regicide?
Regicide.
What does that mean?
Murder a king.
Killing a king. Regicide. Wow, never heard that. Regicide. Okay, but the story over here is Shaul is pursuing David. In the story, he had 3,000 men with him. That's what it says in the pasuk in Sefer Shmuel. He was seeking. They were searching, a search team of 3,000 men. Each one was lethal. Each one was ordered to shoot and kill when they find David. And David now finds them. They walk into David's. David's hiding in a cave. And in walks Shaul with his men, and David could have easily eliminated Shaul by surprise at this point in time. He did not do so, but Shaul was not going to return the favor, that's for sure. And David over here says, and he writes over here about these people, Nafshi besoch levoim. A levoim means a lion. A lavi, it means lions. Let's see the Mitzudos David. The Mitzudos David pasuk, hey, on page 500. Nice round number, 500. My neshama is besoch levoim, nafshi shechenes bnei adam hatarfim kil voim. According to the pshutoi shel mikra, this is a negative term, negative. Vicious people who behave or like lions, a metaphor, who rip apart their prey like lions. Va'ani and I shoychei ben anashim hatarfim kil lahav esh. And I live amongst people who they burn their passion. They have a burning desire to kill me. So over here he's poetic. Let's go back. He writes about the neshama, about the guf. My neshama is residing amongst levoim, lions, meaning wicked people who are passionate and want to rip me to shreds. And then he says, Eshkava lo hatim, I dwell amongst people who are fired up, who are passionate, who have a burning desire to eliminate me. Okay, if you want to give, you see people. It's not so hard to appreciate it. You look at politics. They see people who the hatred that some people have for Trump publicly is beyond belief. Okay, look at Liz Cheney in her in how she led this commission to attack. To take down Trump. You see this seething hatred that is incredible. Incredible, that's beyond the pale.
Is there downfall?
Seething hatred. So nothing is new. The more things change, the more they stay the same. David is describing the hatred that Shaul and his 3,000 men have for him by calling them lions and calling them Lo hatim, pyromaniacs, people who are just burning with a desire. One more time, the words how he describes nafshi, my neshama, shecheves it dwells, bein bnei adam hatarfim ki voim, who rip apart their prey like lions. Furthermore, vani shecheves bein anoshim hasarfim, who are burning ki lahav esh, like a flame of fire. Now let's go further to the pasuk. Then it goes on that she nehem. Eshkava loyatim bnei adam. Okay, let's parse the pasuk. It's very important to parse the pasuk one more time. B'nei Adam. So let's parse the pasuk one more time. Two expressions so far. Nafshi b'soich livaim. Period. I'm sorry. Nafshi b'soich livaim eshkeva. Period. Now, we're going to repeat words. Okay, it's b'soich lo hatim l'soich b'nei Adam lo hatim eshkeva. Okay, we're going to repeat a lot of words here. When it says now the next words, lo hatim b'nei Adam, you have to repeat a lot of words. You have to. It's the same thing. It's nafshi, is eshkeva, besoch, b'nei Adam, lo hatim. You see what we're doing over here? This is welcome to Tehillim 101. You have to repeat words in order to make sense out of any psukim. At least according to the Mitzudos David, he's very much in favor of this idea, and Rashi as well many times, is we're trying to describe two people, and we don't need to repeat every single part of the sentence. It's redundant. So the theme over here is we have a category of wicked people called Livoim, and we have a category of people called Lohatim. And we want, for some reason, to ascribe the concept of the Nefesh to the Livoim and the idea of B'nei Adam to the Lohatim. And everything else is the same. Okay, so again, two categories of evil. A category of evil called Livoim, a category of evil called Lohatim. David says, when he's dealing with the Ruchnius, he used the word Nafshi. Nafshi besoch Livoim eshkeva. And then when he describes the more of the Gashmias, he puts the word the B'nai Adam on the enemies, but it's basically it's the same idea. Nafshi besoich lohatim, of B'nai Adam, who are lohatim, eshkeva. In essence, that's what the Tzadik is telling us to do, to repeat these words, to make it clear that David is complaining about two categories of evil people. For sure, it does a lot of things. Because first of all, this is only one interpretation. Okay, this is only one interpretation, because as we'll see, we'll learn some of the farshim over here, there are many other interpretations. By not repeating words, you're opening the possibility for the pasuk to be multidimensional and to interpret it different ways. If you're going to actually repeat the words and put it in proper grammar, then you're severely limiting the possibilities of what of the interpretation. This is divine. This is not, some editor in a basement in the New York Times is just writing some sentences. This is divine. And because it's divine, it's multidimensional. There are many possible interpretations. By repeating the word and spelling it out in too much detail, you limit the possibilities of what it could mean. By saying less, then, and allowing you, the reader, to interpret it in the way that you wish, you open it up to multiple interpretations. Again, let's read the Mitzudos one more time, because it's very, very hard actually to translate and read. And his interpretation over here is, one more time, Pasukei, Nafshi my neshama, besoch livoim, Nafshi, he explains, it is sheichenes, it is dwelling, bein amongst, B'nei Adam, people. Notice he says B'nei Adam here. You see, look at that. He says B'nei Adam. Yeah, I didn't realize that. He's putting in B'nei Adam also. B'nei Adam. Hatarfim, that rip their prey apart. Kill va'im, like lions. Furthermore, now comes part two. Va'ani, I, again, same idea. Shoichev, I'm dwelling. Bein anoshim, again, repeating the same exact thing. It's again, nafshi I is again is bein, which is besoich of b'nei Adam. Again, the same thing. Hasorfim, that burn, kilahav esh, a flame of fire. Okay, so it's basically repeating using all the words in the pasuk, and we're applying it number one to the livoim as being the subject. And then we're doing the same exact thing again as Lo Hatim, applying it with regard to the same people. We're calling them by a different term of Lo Hatim.
Yeah, but
Isn't the voyin, lions? How do we get that word to mean rishoyim?
That's good. That's an interpretation. You are correct because we're going to see in other commentators that don't look at it like that. Excellent. This is all subject to interpretation. The Mitzudas David, he's drawing from his teachers or some of the other commentators that understand from the context of the Mizmar, the word Levoim means a lion, and in this context it means evil. Evil. The midah of a lion is when it's hungry, it finds a victim, it rips it to shreds with no rachmanis whatsoever. David is accusing his enemies as behaving like vicious lions. David accuses his enemies as behaving like what he calls lohatim, people, pyromaniacs, people who just want to burn down the world. They just for no purpose, just to destroy. They have a thirst to destroy with fire. And David here is the victim. Now,
Interesting, the use Levahim and not Arayot. Levahim, the V'ah, is the female. And the female is very vicious.
Oh, worse than the man. Worse than the man. Don't tell that to the women.
He just is the king.
Lion sleeps the whole day. Okay, there are seven terms for a lion. There are seven different terms found in Tanakh describing a lion. Seven terms. Each term describes a different stage in the life or the gender of a lion. There are baby lions, there are middle-aged lions, old lions, male, female, I don't know all the different terms, and each term, obviously, in different stages in the life of a lion, it behaves differently. People grow. You go through a cycle, go through life. Okay, so at every stage, the lion has a different, so you're right, he's saying over here, we say, why does he pick over here with the lavi? There are seven other different, six other terms that could have used to describe the viciousness of a lion. Obviously, this stage or this gender of the lion is appropriate for the type of people that David is describing. Exactly. Okay, now the drum roll, please. Finally, we're going to come to Mark Plotnik. Yes.
So does David, like you said, he uses the language, right? Nafshi shel kenes beim bnei adam. That's in the pasuk.
Right.
But vanishochei beim anoshim. So now he's changing
bnei adam into anoshim.
And what's the difference between adam and anoshim?
The Bitsudas David is a more recent. Is you can't be medactic in the words of with such intensity in the Mitzudas. He lived not that long ago. Rashi, when a Rishon is a rule. The rule is whenever a Rishon says something, every word of a Rishon you can analyze and you can be medactic. Rashi, the Radak, not to the same degree like Rashi, but the early Rishonim, their words are sacred. Okay, the Gemara is certainly a Mishnah beyond the shadow of a doubt. And the Torah, Torah is Mamish Kodesh Hashem. The earlier we go back to Har Sinai, the more every Nekuda, every letter, every dot is sacred and is subject to interpretation. You go now, you're talking to someone who writes something today, it means nothing. The goal is to bring out an idea. No one today in our generation, you can be medactic and what, he said this word, that ridiculous. You look at a lot of the tshuvas of the last 100 years, even 200 years. Don't get carried away. Even the Shachan Ataz. You read a Shachan Ataz, even Mishnah Berurah. Okay, even the Mishnah Berurah. You can't get obsessed with the Chafetz Chaim use a certain word, we can be medactic. That's not the way it goes. You don't do that. You don't.
The same sentence.
Okay, so the Mitzvah stuff is poetic. There's no way you can read anything very deep into a Mitzvah stuff. You look at an Acharon. The Acharon is bringing out an idea. He's presenting an idea, a concept. they're very talented, way more talented than anyone today, and they have eloquence and language and expression, and they do a...
training skill also. You don't use the same word.
We're at the same time, exactly. But it's you can't go and go, oh, he said this word, make a whole drasha. No way. You have to differentiate between Tanakh. Even in Tanakh, there's a difference between what it says in Chumash, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. And deal.
It's a writing skill also,
right.
Not to always use the same word.
Same word. So here's B'nai Adam, this is Anoshim, it's a style. Absolutely. Let's go now to the next part of the Pasuk. Next part of the Pasuk over here, the next one says, Shinehem, their teeth. Their teeth are kachanis. Back to the Pasuk. Shinehem, their teeth are chanis. Their teeth are like spears. Okay? Their teeth. They're animals. He finished describing lions, and he's saying that these wicked people who want to kill him, he says their teeth are like a chanis, a spear, and arrows. Okay, and arrows, right? Two things. Their teeth are like spears and arrows. Ulishoinam, their tongue is a cherev chador. Their tongues are like a sharp sword. Rat mitzudos David, v'shineihem kachanis v'chitzim. Okay, it doesn't really explain very much. Cherev, a sword. Memis b'loshon hara. What do you mean their tongue is like a sword? So here already the Mitsudois David already is giving us a little bit of a drush. It's loshon hara. These people slander. Slander.
This pasuk is frequently cited in the Russian
Loshon hara, right. That the koyach of a tongue is like a sword, a sharp sword. If you say something, you say the wrong thing, you can destroy a person.
You can
kill Yimamish life and death. Memis b'loshon hara kechedev chada. They said, where is David? All the different enemies, we'll see them from the farshim, the Zifim, the Anshei Kalia, you had Avner, Amasa, Achitofel. What? Doeg Wadoimi. All of these, they spoke Lashon Hara. Doeg said to Shaul, oh, he's hiding Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim. Okay, all these wicked people, when they go and they slander and then they report David, they go and they give over information where he is and they say Lashon Hara about him, they outright lies, Motzi Shemra. This results in enormous danger and sakana for David Melech Yisrael. Fine, that is, so let's review the pasuk we've done over according to the Mitzudas David. We've taken the pasuk, and we started by saying we have over here one expression, and then one expression we're basically repeating the entire expression and calling them two different terms. Nafshi David says, I am sakana, I'm living here amongst besoch livoim, eshkiva, kama, nafshi besoch lohatim eshkiva. Or really, nafshi besoch b'nei adam, the word b'nei adam really goes back on both as well. Mm-hmm. My neshama is dwelling amongst Anoshim B'nai Adam, Eshkava, that are both Livoim and Lohatim. And then he goes on to say that their teeth are compared to spears and arrows, and their tongue is a sharp sword. Good, that is the Mitzudah stuff. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasik, Hey Nafshi B'soch Livoim. Oh, so now he says something a little bit different. Avner V'Amosa Shahayu Livoim Batoyra. This is Mordechai Bienenstock, who has come back from the Sunshine State with lots of oranges, and you were disturbed. Why is the word Livoim mean a wicked, vicious animal that's going to rip apart its prey? Whoever said that's what the pasuk here means to say. It is everything you can say. So in the Chanami, Rashi disagrees. Rashi says the word Livoim over here is not coming to focus on the nature of them being the violence, but rather the word Livoim is coming on the nature of a gibor, a mighty, powerful being, creature. In what regard? Torah. In other words, Shaul
and
speech. Well, that's next. Okay, no, one thing at a time. They're respectable people. He doesn't say it's speech. That's going to be the next. But first he says the Livoim, like a Talmidei Chacham can call lions. It's not for nothing that you used to have in all the shuls on top of the Aron HaKodesh were lions. There were two lions resting on top of the Aron HaKodesh, and some of the Sharblat and all the old Gemaras. They did away with it today. A very new religious world today. Also, lions. There are lions. A lion represents a Gibor in Torah. a gibor in Torah, and the Aron HaKodesh is the Torah, and on top, the alliance, Moshe v'Aaron.
The Arisha
b'Chabura. It's a symbol of godless in Torah. So he's saying over here, we had a big problem. We have Shaul. Shaul is Mishich Ma'ulamala. He was the greatest person in Klal Yisrael. He wasn't the Mashiach Hashem for nothing. Shaul, he was a great person. And who does he surround himself with? The biggest Talmidei Chachamim in Klal Yisrael. Avner. Avner was his general. Amasa was his chief of staff. And these people were giants in greatness. How then could it be that they just are silent and allow Shaul to pursue me and attempt to kill me? I can't believe this. I can't believe people, one thing, you have low lives, bloodthirsty, barbarians. They want to go and kill and loot and exploit. All right, what do you expect? But we're dealing here with princes. We're dealing here with Avner, Amasa, Doeg, Achitofel. These were great people. These aren't simple people. These are people who have to be reckoned with. How were they fooled? How were they damaged? How was Shaul able to brainwash them that what Shaul is doing is a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah to go and kill David, who has been anointed by Shmuel HaNavi as the Melech. I don't understand this. It doesn't make sense to me. This is very complicated. You see this in life all the time. There are people that are really very, very great people, and they, you know, who's for us to say? But in hindsight, it seems like they did foolish things. And why? How does that happen? Is there a negius? It affects them. It affects them. They have personal benefit. A person is so delicate. You can never, ever trust yourself, no matter how great you are, how much Yirah Shamayim you think you have, and how much Chochma and Torah you have. Make big mistakes. It's the Musar here is beyond belief. Over here, he calls them, David says, Nafshi, my neshama. Who do I want to associate with? With Avner, with Amasa, Doeg, this is where the action is. These are the people who know, it's lonely on the top. At the top. Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Yard Site is coming up. When is the, it's a Shushan Purim. It's on Shushan the Purim, is the Yard Site of Chaim Kanievsky's Zichron Livracha. So Arzkun has a lot of noise now. The cover, I saw this morning, the cover of Mishpacha magazine. They have already the picture of Chaim Kanievsky. The whole world, the yeshiva world, is gearing up for the first yard site of Chaim Kanievsky's Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Art Scroll, already they publish, it's just about hot off the press, this telephone book. They're there, you know, even though they're only about 1,000 books of Chaim Kanievsky, but they published their, you know, their book. Okay, the book of all books, so to speak. Did they what?
They were selling his pants.
His pants? They sold what?
Stamps.
Oh, happy word.
What? Whatever.
A stamp you put in a letter.
A stamp, okay. So you're dealing here. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So what did he write? What sefarim did he write? He wrote on the most esoteric topics, on Seder Zeroim. A lot of he wrote a lot of like a Commissioner Brewer, which I never learned because I'm not too smart. I mean, I have a hard enough time on Chumash and Rashi, but he wrote the people who are advanced. They write about his svarim, called Derech Emunah, I think four volumes. Many other things as well. They say there's nothing like it. It's like mamish, it's equivalent to something would have been written 500 years ago. Problem is, how many people today in Klal Yisrael are on that level, are on an advanced level to learn his svarim? You have to master the whole shas. No Mishnayis inside out. No, and then learn his svarim, and you'll be blown away. Okay, people? But it's lonely at the top. It's very lonely at the top. People who are exalted, okay, people came to him the whole day to ask him questions, and he answered, but his svarim, you know, the things that he wrote, even like Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. How many people sit down and read and learn Rav Chaim's the whole day? Very few. You have to be very, very advanced, very, very few. It's lonely at the top. The Mishnah Berurah. How many people mass all the Bir Halachas? How many people go and look and comprehend the incredible Chachma in the Shahat Zion? Okay, there's a lot of golden nuggets there. It's lonely at the top. David is at the very, very top. Who does David talk to in learning? Who? Talk to me? Who is he going to talk to in learning? Who does he sit in Beis Medrash with? It's lonely. Avner. I have an Avner. I have an Amosa. I have a Doyek, an Achitoyfel. These are the people that I learn with. These are the geniuses. These are the Gedolei Yisrael. These are the greatest of the great. They're called Livoim. How then can they go do this to me? How then can they be so foolish to be persuaded by Shaul's Meshigas that I'm a Murid B'Malchus and they should go and they should kill me, they should seek out or even be quiet and tolerate this? It just mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. That's what he's complaining about. We had the same theme in the previous Mizmar. Navshi B'Sech Levoim, Avner V'Amos. So Avner was the general of Shaul. Amos, if I'm not mistaken, was like what we would call today his chief of staff, one of his advisors. Shahayu Livoim Batoira. And yet, the Einam Mechichim B'Shaul, they don't reject, they don't protest. They're silent. I can't comprehend this. Now, if you notice, Rashi here is parsing the words different than the Mitzudos David. Whereas, the Mitzudos David basically read this entire expression as one sentence. Navshi b'soch levo'im eshkiva lo'yhatim b'nei adam. All of those words go together. He did not make any commas, the way we explained it in the Mitzudos. Rashi doesn't do like that. Rashi seems to put a period at after the words levo'im. Nafshi b'soch levo'im, period. And now we go to a new statement. Eshkiva lo hatim. I lie, good morning, good morning. Eshkiva, I lie, lo hatim. Eshkiva b'loy hatim. Now, Ramachol, you want to go tell us the old pronounce that word?
Flamboyant.
You hear the word flame. Flamboyant flame. Okay.
Are in flame. Okay.
Wow, all those letters there, to me, it looks like bumbo jumbo.
That's why it's all jumbled together.
Flamboyant. Okay.
Like on fire.
On fire.
Like in something like flame, you heard. Dish that's flambé, right? That's on, literally on fire.
It sounds like the Udvoira, Eishes Lapidos. Eishes Lapidos. What does that mean? Eishes Lapidos. Eishes Lapidos. So the one shot is that her husband's name was Lapidos, but the other interpretation is she was a fiery woman, flamboyant. Flamboyance. Eishes, a woman. Lapidos, lapida, torch. Exactly what it says, lo hatim. She was a woman full of passion, fire. Passionate, flamboyant. And, that means they have lust, passion, lust. Okay, sometimes that's in a bad way. Okay, I assume lust is only a bad word, is that true? Can you ever say you lust for anything good? It can be, lust can be used in a good way? Yeah, I don't know, okay. I thought maybe
lust
it was only...
for Torah.
Yeah, I never heard, people don't say that. I don't hear people you say that. The word lust can be used in a good way? I don't know. The new language. 21st century, new vocabulary. Loss is usually 99% of the time, the way we're familiar, in a negative way, in taiva for arayos.
Money.
Money.
I think the word Mark might be looking for is hishtokukus.
Hishtokukus. Obsession. Hishtokukus sounds like obsession. A thirst. That's a good word. A thirst. Yeah, that's good. Okay. Yeah. Oh, so Taka.
Ah, thank you.
Okay, save Mark. All right. So Rashi here says, now who are the people? So Rashi learns we're not discussing, again, it's not evil, like a Mordechai bin Stockwitz, there's not an evil term, but rather he's describing the Zifim. Okay, there's a whole cast of characters in the story of Shaul. There are the Zifim, the Anshei Kila, there is Avner, Almasa, Doig, Achitofel. We have a whole cast of characters.
Ten enemies, right? We had it recently.
Ten?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Recently, I think.
Yeah.
My wife brought it up to me yesterday.
10 enemies of David during this era? During the era of Shaul. Shaul, Gast, the king of Gash. When David dealt with Shaul, 10 different, we have to really go back and study Shmuel and study the whole story in very great detail. When David was running away from Shaul, he came in contact with David, Shaul is saying with 10 different characters who were powerful people or powerful nations that gave David a run for his life. Achish, Melch, Gas. What? Shem Ben Gera, Achish, Melch, Gas. And here is another one of the people, the Anshei Zifim. The Anshei, we learned about the Anshei Zifim. David, when he fled, he went to this place called the Zifim. I think they were even Jews. And they were not related. They had no connection. He thought he would be safe amongst the Zifim because the Zifim had nothing.
Didn't we say they were fellows of Yehuda?
Right. They were from his tribe. Yes. They were from his tribe. They had no connection to Shaul. David thought, of course they're going to save me. What do they have to gain? They have nothing to gain. They're not related to Shaul. In fact, they're related to me. They're part of my family. What could be? Certainly they're going to save me. And they betrayed him. They routed him out. They omalsh. They told Shaul, guess who's amongst us? The Anshei Zifim. David has it in for these people. So over here he mentions the Lavi is Avner and Amosa. And the Loihatim, the passionate people who betray David, Rashi learns refers to the Zifim. It was a community of Jews, partially they were Jews, who David went to hide amongst from Shaul, and they told Shaul, guess who is living here amongst us? They routed him out. So he calls them the Zifim, Shaloihatim, Achar Lashon Hara. Their Loyad is another important point over here. He says their Loyad Achar what? After he's connecting this already into the next expression. Rashi over here is saying it's not going to the Mitzvot David. According to the Mitzvot David, I mean, the truth is that everyone has to, you can't ignore that it's connected to the next expression. But they're loyatim, what are they loyate? They're passionate in their desire to speak Lashon Hara, and the Lashon Hara here was to reveal to Shaul the hiding place of David. Now let's look at this.
That makes sense what you said at the beginning. Nafshi betof.
Ruchnius.
He felt, I'm safe here. Okay. I'm safe in Avner, I'm safe in Israel, because they are great people.
Exactly.
So I would like to lie down and sleep there. Because it was Sisra came to Yael Eshet Hever.
We're friends. We have a family bond. She told him.
No problem.
We have a family, we have connections. She killed him. Right.
That's the same situation.
According to Rashi also, I will lie down in peace. Eshkeva, I thought I can lie down safely in the Loihatim with the Zifim. But in hindsight, it turned out that these are Meshugoyim. The Lohut Achar Lashnar. And by the way, according to the way Rashi parses the Pasuk, it's very good why it says the word it says the word nafshi by the levoim, because he's describing greatness in Torah. Amasa and Avner were gedolei Yisrael, ruchnius. So David says nafshi, my neshama, the ruchnius is besoch levoim. I learned bechavrusa with Avner and Amasa. Period. Now let's talk about gashmius. My mishpacha, the zivim are my atzmi ubesari ata. You're my boss of Adam. So I thought I'd be safe with you. Eshkava with loyatim. But now, what do I discover? I discover all you people are a bunch of scoundrels. Look what you did to me. Look how you the silence of just of allowing Shaul to carry on. Now let's look at this incredible Malbim. This Malbim is off the charts. Pasuk Hey. Nafshi, very similar to, it's a combination really of both Rashi and the Mitzudas. Nafshi, my neshama, shechenes besoch levoim va'arayos, ke lions, v'gam eshkiva besoch loyhatim nechoshim. Now here is a new different shot, a little bit different than Rashi. He calls the loyhatim snakes, because snakes are on fire, because they have poison, and when they bite their victim, the victim develops a fever, and the fever kills him. Okay, it's the fever. So he calls them loyatim. Loyatim is a very interesting insight. That according to the Malbim, the word loyatim is a symbol. It is a term that describes a snake, because a snake bites, brings fever, and the fever is death. Eshkiva lohatim, fire. Nechashim lohatim v'sarfim. Okay, they're on fire, these snakes. Avol, now here's it's really interesting. Avol, halivoim v'haloyatim shani b'seichem hey misukonim yoiser milivoim v'loyatim achedim. People that are lions and snakes are worse than real lions and real snakes. If you go to the zoo, it's not so bad. The animals are behind the bars. Okay, just they're on the other side. There are bars, and the lions on the other side of the gate, and the snakes are in a cage. So what could go wrong? But in life, there are people who are lions, and people that are snakes, and guess what? They walk around amongst us. So we're vulnerable. We're vulnerable to the people, the human beings, who are really reptiles, who are really disguised as snakes and lions. Shani b'seichem ha'im, again, I'm on page 500 in the Malbim Pasuk Hey. It's 2/3 down the page. V'loyatim, but it's Shani, I'm beginning the second line, the first word in the second line. Shani b'seichem ha'im misukonim yoyser milavon v'loyatim ha'im kihem b'nei adam, because they make believe they're people. Shehalavoim v'haloyatim shani b'seichem ha'im b'nei adam. Loy bali chayim bilti medarim. They're not lions and snakes that don't talk. V'sachasha halavoim ein lechem rak shinayim shel etzem. A real lion only has real teeth. Has teeth of bone. But halavoim, the lions that I live with, shani b'soichem shinayim chanis v'chitzim. Their teeth, the teeth of the human lions, are spears and arrows. They're trying to kill me. Shel barzel. V'sacha sheloyatim ein lamay rak eresh utachas halashon basar. Snakes, the danger of a snake is the poison that's in their tongue. Lish, but the snakes that I live amongst, they're like a sharp sword. Lishram, their tongue is cherev chada shegarua milashon hanechashim hasrafim, is worse than the tongue of the snakes that have poison.
And this is what Mrs. Dove is trying to tell us. Adam and Anosh.
Okay.
Two groups here, and that's what the Rashi explained.
Okay, everyone is saying the same, pretty much the same idea in different words. Not exactly. Okay, right, but okay, yeah, you're right. They're pretty much saying the same idea. Each one is complementing the other in bringing out the point. It's true. Here you really have a combination. If you take over here the Mitzudos and Rashi and the Malbim and you put them all together, it's really the same package. Each one is mashlim the other. Sometimes the Mefarshim, they're two different worlds. Two different worlds, they have no connection whatsoever. Here it's true. Here they're really all saying the same concept, but each one is giving us a different dimension, and they work, they come together in a very beautiful way to bring out the koyach of the pasuk. Okay, now let's go to... let's go to okay, you know, the medrash, I'm gonna read the medrash. We really did the medrash before, but it's very appropriate again over here. The medrash, we did the medrash, I think the same exact words in the previous pasuk. I'm gonna read it again because it just again it blends into Taich the pasuk very well again on page 501 on the bottom of the page. He's at the bottom of the page. V'nafshi b'soich levo'im eshkeva loyatim b'nei adam shineim chanis v'chitzim l'shonim chedav chada Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Kahana doiroi shel David. In the generation of David HaMelech, kulam tzadikim hayu. They were tzadikim gemurim. Yet, when they went to war, they lost many battles. Why? Because even though they were tzadikim, they were talmidei chachamim, and they did everything right, they were delo toirin, informers. Informers. Balei lashayin hara.
How can you call tzadikim?
Good question. You're asking a good question. How can you call them tzadikim? They appear to be tzaddikim, okay. Or maybe, or even, you, look, people are complex. People are tzaddikim and they have flaws. I always tell people make a life two mistakes. People, just because the person, we always discuss, just because the person, you discover that a person has made done an aveira, it doesn't necessarily take away from the fact that he's a great person. There are many great people who do aveiros. They do averus. So just because they do averus, ein tzaddik bo'aretz asher yaseh toiv v'lo yecheta. You discover a person that is recognized in Klal Yisrael as being a very great person, and you discover he has a flaw. You discover something and it bothers you very, very much. So does that mean that in your eyes you should go and totally dismiss him and take all of his sorrow off the shelf and burn them and throw them in the garbage?
One question.
Yeah.
That's a very
you're saying good. You're saying something that's very powerful. You're right. Where do you draw the line?
In every crowd, there.
But even among tzaddikim, look over here. You have Doeg. Doeg HaDoeg was an incredible Talmud Chacham in the Kol Torah Kula. David over here is saying Nafshi B'Sechla, and yet Doeg was the ultimate. Informer, and Avner was quiet. Just let Shaul get away with this. How come you didn't make a macha? I don't know. Where do you draw the line? This is a very extremely impossible thing to do. People are very, very great. They're very great. They've done incredible things. They've worked on themselves, and then you discover they did an avera. So what does that mean? So they did an avera. Ain't tzaddik birds, shayasav leyechata. Does that mean they have to be completely dismissed? They have to be completely eliminated? They have to be removed from their position? You have to take all of their sermon and burn them? Where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line? Menashe.
Special personalities. Dofi yesh believer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
this is not for us to make these decisions. This is
That's not the normal thing, ain't Sadik Baoretz. Ain't Sadik Baoretz, you still have to stay with
the whole story.
It also depends what kind of favor they did.
At the beginning, it said, V'chol Yisrael ohavim et David. After Goliath, everybody loved him. And suddenly, he absorbed so many enemies, like everybody.
The best, 3,000. How is it possible?
What happened?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just a misuse what of everybody.
Did he do so?
It's just an exaggeration.
Right. Yeah, what happened? I don't know. Life is complicated.
It's an exaggerated word. Everybody.
Look in this country. Look.
Everybody.
And you follow politics in this country. There are shocking things you hear in the news. How do these things happen? How do these crazy stories? The whole world goes along with this? It's very complicated. I'm not going to give you names, but I can give you examples of certain people who were very well respected, and then it was discovered about them, some came out to the public, some not such good news. And some of them were rehabilitated, and no one even remembers anymore. And some of them, gone. They're gone, they're finished.
You don't even have to talk about sin. You can just talk about backstabbing or disloyalty. That in itself.
Let's go further. So over here, this is very important over here. Look again, this Chazal. I'm reading over here on the Mamor Chazal on page 501. On Pasuk Hey. From the word Amar Rabbi Kahana, Doyroi Shal David Kulam Tzadikim Hayu V'Al Yidei Shayil Lachem Di La Toirin Informers Hayu Yoytzin B'Amulchama V'Hayu Noiflim, and they died. Who should David Amar? This is what David himself says. Nafshi B'Soich Livoim Eshkeva Loyatim Nafshi B'Soich Livoim. This is where Rashi got it from. Ze Avner V'Amasa Shahayu Livoim B'Toira. They were lions in Torah. Eshkiva lohatim. Now this is not what Rashi says. Rashi decided not to say this. But over here in the Chazal it says doyeg v'achi toifel. He calls the lohatim, people that were passionate, doyeg and achi toifel. Shohayu luchutim achar l'shoin hara. Then we go further. Bnei Adam, the next people have teeth. Their teeth are like a chanis l'chitzim. Who is that referring to? Bnei Adam shenim chanis l'chitzim elu ba'alei ki'ila. Dichsiv it says, Hayas Giru, Va'ale, Kilia, Viyodo, Hayereid Shol, which refers to basically David when he hid amongst the Anshe Kilia. They went and they also ran, Kila, they routed him out. And the last part, Ulushoinam Cherev Chador, Elu Hazifim, another category of people that routed him out. Bevoy Hazifim, Vayam Ulushol, they told them, Osa Shah. So therefore, he interprets the Chazal term, the entire pasuk in reference to how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six different enemies of David. The first is Livoim, is Avner and Amasa. Then it says Loyatim is Doyeg and Achitofel. The Bnei, the Shineim Chanis v'chitzim is the Anshei Kila, and the Lashonim Chedev Chada is the Anshei Zifim. Four. What's that? The Zifim, the Anshe Zifim, the whole city, the Anshe Zifim. Six different categories of people. Six different categories of people, according to the Chazal, are mentioned here in this pasuk, and that is the why they fell in battle. And they were great. If you go and you look at the newspaper of the time, wow, so much chesed, so much tzedakah, such greatness in Torah. There's a yeshiva on every corner. People, everyone knows Kol HaTorah, people are tremendous Talmidei Chachamim and this Chesed v'chulu v'chulu. So why are people having trouble? Why is Klal Yisrael suffering? Because there are Balei Lashon Hara living amongst us. How could that possibly be? Don't you practice what you preach? If everyone today is learning a Sefer Chafetz Chaim and there are hotlines and there are Siddurim and v'chulu v'chulu, how could it be? How could it be? Obviously, life is complicated. Rav Pam used to say that his mother, she never learned Sefer Chofetz Chaim. Never. I don't think she ever opened up Sefer Chofetz Chaim. Yet, she never, ever said a word of Lashon Hara her whole life. And here we are today in America. We have on the shelf, in Torah Das, they have a shelf, a whole bookcase of Sefer Chofetz Chaim. And you have to learn to, and there is an English only 20 different, 50 different volumes, and this one and that one, and hotlines and programs, and with all of the programs and the svarim, v'chulu, people have a problem with Lashon Hara. And yet, previous generations, people had no problem. They didn't say Lashon Hara. It was just natural. When it's Yirah Shamayim, everything is good. It's not, Mimele, you don't do Averis. When there's no Yirah Shamayim, You can no shas on your fingertips. It means nothing. Reishis chochma yiras Hashem. There's no yiras Shemaim, and yiras Shemaim is a chochma. It's not something that you can take for granted. And this is a very basic. Like the old dilemma. I remember once someone was telling me about a certain yeshiva where they teach them grammar, Hebrew grammar, they teach the Tanakh, and they teach Bialik, and they teach a whole long list. who are the teachers of Tanakh? Who teaches them the Gemara? People that are not even Jewish. They're not Shomer Shabbos, not even Jewish. How could you expect a student to come out of this yeshiva? All they learn, they teach Tanakh, and they teach Hebrew grammar, and teach modern Hebrew, and they teach Gemara, and they teach this, they teach that, it goes the whole little curriculum. If the teachers are not Shomer Torah U'mitzvahs, there's no Yerushalayim. There's no Yerushalayim. The most basic thing you need in a yeshiva to teach is that the Rebbe should be a Yorei Shamayim. I told you many years ago, there was a Menahel in Borough Park here who they were looking for a new Rebbe, an old timer, and they had a candidate. He sat in the class, and the Rebbe, a younger man, he was phenomenal. The Menahel, he sat the entire morning to listen him give a model class as a Prabha, if they would take him as a Rebbe. And at the end of the class, the person who recommended him, who was there, says, phenomenal. You're not going to find someone like this. And the Menahel said, B'shun Oifen, I will not take this person in my yeshiva. Why? The guy's unbelievable. He didn't say Hashem's name even once. He didn't say Hashem's name even once. Can you imagine? Yeah. Someone I heard recently that it's someone...
I don't know if that one, different one. When you walk into the classroom, you're
giving kiss to Mezuzah. Another, I heard this very recently. I don't want to say the name of the person. For whatever reason, there's a person, a very famous person who wrote many, many books for children. And he died. He's no longer alive. And a very controversial person was, some many people burnt his books. Some people, they go to... everyone knows what I'm talking about, whatever. So they asked a Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael, a very big great gadol, about what do you are, what's your opinion? It's a controversial topic. What is your opinion about this person, about his books, v'chulu v'chulu? And he said, many people ask me my opinion, and I have to say what I think. And he went on to totally shred him into teeny pieces. He took the side that this person has to be uprooted from Klal Yisrael. And then he said, you know, in his first 14 books that he wrote, Hashem's name is not mentioned even once. In all of the stories that are bestseller stories that line the shelves of every Judaica store, the name of Hashem is not mentioned even once in all 14 volumes. He said that speaks volumes in and of itself. When you teach children, Jewish children, part of the teaching is to instill upon them Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. And if there's no Yiras Hashem, here you have all these people. What's going on over here? The greatest of the great, Doeg, Amosa, Achitofel, Avner, the Zifim, and Kila, David trusted them. These are my people. This is on my people. These are the greatest, and this is what they do. They want to kill me in cold blood. How could this possibly be? Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. That last story I told you one time. That time with Rav Baruch Ber, there was a fellow who became a rav in a shul, and there was a balabas, an old balabas. And he said, and they told the new rabbi, this balabas was a Talmud by Rav Baruch Ber. He saw Rav Baruch Ber. He still remembers him. So the new rabbi went over to him and said, please tell me something. Tell me a story. Tell me about Rav Baruch Ber. So leave me alone. I remember I'm an old man. The next day when he came to shul, this Baal Bas was waiting on the steps of the shul. I remember a story. I want to tell you a story. I was in a shir when he taught us Bava Mitzia. And it was opening day, and he opened up the Gemara, and he says, Shnayim oichazin betalis, ze oimer kula sheli, vize oimer kula sheli. The Ribbono shel Olam says, Yachloiku. It doesn't say in the Gemara, the Ribbono shel Olam says. It says in the Gemara, ze oimer kula sheli, vize oimer kula sheli, Yachloiku. You know how he teaches the Gemara? The Ribbono shel Olam says, Yachloiku. You know how much mussar there is in that? It's infinite amount of mussar in that statement. You can go to a school where they teach Talmud with all the most sophisticated techniques of the 21st century. If the Rebbe's not going to say, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Yachloiku, what do you have? What do you have from this? What do you have from this? You'll have an Avner, an Amosa, an Achitofel, the Ki'ila, Zifim, who will engage in cold-blooded murder. Cold-blooded murder. All in the name of science, in the name of society, for the good of Klal Yisrael. If there's no Yiras Shamayim, there is nothing. Nothing. Go to even go to a doctor today. You go to a doctor today. Who are the doctors you go to today? All these doctors, do they have any Yiras Shamayim? It's scary. It's really scary. You think, oh, who cares? Some goyim have more Yiras Shamayim than some of the Jewish doctors. It's not no joke. They used to always say, go to a doctor. You go to the best. You don't go settle for a yeshivish doctor. You need to go to a doctor. You go to the best of the best of the best. That's what they used to say. I'm hearing this from now, when I was a child. And I really wonder about that today. If that principle is still true. Because today the world has sunk to such a low degree in Yiras Shamayim. Goyim used to have Yiras Shamayim. It's not for nothing it says on every coin, God we trust. There used to be some morals in society. Today you say religion, they'll shoot you. Okay, they mamish the government, it's anathema, religion. If you deal with, there's no Yiras Shamayim, anything goes. Just because you have a world-renowned Harvard doctor, if there's no Yiras Shamayim, who knows what he's going to do? Who knows?
Okay. They saw, they were saying the Tehillim there, they were learning, and all of a sudden this miracle happened, and all of a sudden God says, I don't know what's going on, but there must be a God.
Okay, you need umnis, skill, you need skill, knowledge, chokhmah. But you also epis a little bit. You need epis a little bit of Yiras Shamayim. You used to always say, comes to a doctor, you go to the, don't look at anything, bedside manner, forget it. Religion, who cares? Nothing, no religion, you go to the best. Really, is that really a model today? Today, the level of Yiras Shamayim has really, it's frightening. It's frightening. Look what's the pasuk. Look at the musr. What is the musr of this pasuk? Let's do one more pasuk. Ruma. This is another very powerful pasuk. David over here says something very, very shocking, according to some of the Mefarshim. David is so frustrated. Can you imagine what he says over here? I'll tell you one interpretation of many. But David here is so damaged. He is so shaken up. How all of these people betrayed him to such a degree. He basically says, Ribbono Shel Olam, I ask you to remove your divine presence from this world. We always daven, David says just the opposite. He finished off his Shemona Esrei. So you should take your Shechina from this world and bring it back to Shemayim and don't ever come back. Because the people in this world don't deserve you. He's saying over here a tefillah that is the complete opposite of what we say every single day. David's conclusion is that society, mankind, is hopeless. They don't deserve your divine presence because of the evil that they can do in this world all in your name. The biggest Talmidei Chacham want to kill me? You know what? Ruma al HaShamayim Elokim. Go back up to the highest location, to the highest. Do not allow your divine presence to descend to this world. This world doesn't deserve it. We don't deserve you. Stay in Shamayim. Ruma, ascend. Al Hashmayim Elokim. Al Kol Aretz Kivaydecha. How do you read that? It's hard to read that into the end of the pasuk. Let's see the Mitzvah David. Pasuk Vav Mitzvah David. Ruma, Ritzon Eloimar. Let's first do, I told you a drush. Let's learn pshat first. Pshat over here is, David is saying over here is ruma. He's saying, it's a very hard word to translate the word ruma in al-derech pshat. Mitzudah is David is struggling. Ruma, ritzoyno loymar. Whenever the Mitzudah is David says those two words, ritzoyno loymar, fasten your seatbelts. He's going to try to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. He's going to try to read into the word something that it does not say. Rum asay bohem nokam, punish them. And when wicked people are punished, Hashem's name is exalted. It's a famous chazal. When people in this world see that there is justice, there is retribution, then people get scared. They get scared. Ritzon lemar asay bohem nokam uvezeh yeroimam tif'artucha, your glory will be exalted. Al ha-shamayim v'al ha-aretz, al ha-shamayim kama v'al ha-aretz. And then likewise, when you go and do justice to the enemies, then on this world, on the world, people will acknowledge your kindness. It doesn't really fit. Mesillas David is really reading way too much into the pasuk. V'al ha-aretz yero'eh, it will appear kivoydecha kikish Hashem oisedin borishoim hu misroimim hu misnaseh. So the subject of here, the whole premise of this pasuk is not even stated. It's not even stated. It's Hashem punish the wicked. And when the wicked are punished, we can now first begin the pasuk. There's a missing pasuk, according to the Mesillas David. Punish them. And when you will punish them, then rumo ala shemayim elokim. You will be exalted upon the heavens. Your name will be exalted, and the world, I'll call Aretz, Kvaydech, the whole world will appreciate your honor. Rashi says, Ruma al Hashmaim histalek min atachtoinim. She'enam kedai. That's what I told you. I told you the Rashi. Rashi over here learns the Paseki, unbelievable, such a world of a difference between the Mitzvot David and Rashi. What didn't the Mitzvot David like about Rashi? I don't know. He said, histalek. David says, Hashem, these people, they don't deserve you. They don't deserve you. Histalek, depart. Menatachtoinim, she'enam kedai. They're not worthy. She'tashre shchinoscha b'neihem. Kedai. She'enam kedai. They're not worthy. They're not worthy that you should rest your divine presence amongst them. The al kol ha'aretz tischabed b'zo. This is a continuation. Rashi's also struggling to fit the words into the pasuk. When it says al kol ha'aretz kivaydecha, you have to repeat words. You have to go back to the word ruma. Hashem ascend. There, it's not kedai that your kavod, that there should be al kol ha'aretz kivaydecha. Ruma, leave this world. The world does not deserve your glory. Does not go to heaven, Elohim, because the world does not deserve that your kavod should be resting here in this world. That's pretty powerful mussar. You don't get a pasuk like that too often. To see someone, the only way a person can say such a thing is in deep pain. You have to be in extremely deep pain to make such a statement. To pray to Hashem, destroy this world. Or let the world just implode. Remove your divine presence and let these people kill each other and just finish themselves off. Because Hashem, they don't deserve you. They don't deserve you. Man is evil. No, it's not scary. I don't know if that's not scary. I don't know what is scary. What is shocking? Let's see over here what it says over here in the Malbum. Then the Malbum. Ruma pasigvav. Ruma al Hashemayim, sheyishlach mishemayim v'yoshi. And he's learning like Rashi. V'negim ha-shamar, okay, I'm not going to do this. We take too much time. Let me see what this is over here. All right, that's it. We'll leave with that. Im yiretz Hashem, tomorrow we will continue with Pasuk Zion. Okay, take a short break. And after the break, I want to learn about Kiddush Levana. Yesterday, I really wanted to do it yesterday, but we got carried away with Rosh Chodesh, so today we're going to do a continuation of Rosh Chodesh. The Sugya of Kiddush Levana.